This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, September 8th. Well, we had the wheat markets showing some signs of life early last week, but we couldn't hang on to that. And the markets have kind of backed off after putting in a nice sharp swing high, looking like we were going to get some real momentum going early in the week, and then we just couldn't keep it together. Market started backing off, and in Chicago, we closed below those swing highs from July. That would suggest that you're probably running out of gas on the upside, at least initially. In Kansas City, we haven't quite done that. We're testing those highs, but we haven't yet closed below them. Minneapolis barely got above those old highs, and there too, we just closed below them slightly on Friday. So the market, you know, normally we're moving higher this time of year into late September, early October. That's a normal seasonal pattern. This year it's been following that fairly well, even with the big spring wheat harvest here in the U.S. and expected up in Canada. The market's been able to have a nice little rally here, and even with spring wheat. World prices have been creeping higher. A couple reasons for that. Number one, Europe has really not been a player this fall because they had a fairly tight crop this summer. And also here in the United States, we've got monster corn and soybean crops coming, and the trade is gearing up for transportation of those crops. And so you're seeing the rails and the barges, vessels, all kind of waiting for the corn and bean crop, not wanting to get tied up with the wheat crop. And so transportation costs are rising. That's pushing basis up. And so that's pushing our FOB offers up at the export locations. So that's helping to drive world prices higher. Russia has been a little slow to kind of catch up with that. They've been aggressively selling wheat and undercutting everybody when it comes to major sales, but they too have started to let the rising tide lift all boats, if you will. So their prices are starting to move higher as well. Last week we saw their FOB offers jump about $7 a ton. This week we're coming in at about another $8 a ton. So it's pretty impressive. That's 16, 17 cents just on the week, kind of keeping up with where we started out with pushing higher with Chicago early in the week, but again, we couldn't hold it. So we're seeing Russia kind of catch up, and I think that that's probably all we're going to get. I don't see Russia wanting to get above others in world prices. They've got a lot of wheat to sell. Their spring wheat harvest is coming in better than expected. They were having a pretty rough growing season in spring wheat in particular. The southern region of Russia, we're well aware, had a short crop, but the rest of Russia had a monster crop of winter wheat. Spring wheat was also a suspect, but the yields are coming in better than expected. So that's something that I think is going to help offset some of those losses, obviously from the southern region, but also just their expectations of a tight crop. Now we're starting to see the Russian production estimates creep upward again. So we've been sitting in the low 80s. It's pretty close to a record crop. Maybe we'll be bumping up against that record production, but be as it may, you're still looking at big production out of Russia that they're going to want to export as much as possible before the enormous crop coming out of Australia hits the pipeline. Australia over the weekend putting out some production estimates that are really pretty impressive. They're looking at production of 28.9 million tons. Just to put that in perspective, last year's production was 15.2 million tons. And that was, you know, 3 years in a row of just disastrous drought-ridden crops. This year they're coming in with just a bin buster. Still got some time to go here, about another month before they're really comfortable with those production estimates, but boy, they are on track for a boomer. And that's, they increased their production. First of all, it's the third largest on record, was what their projection is. At 28.9 million tons, that's up just over 2 million tons of what their projection was just a month ago. And it's almost 3 million tons higher than what USDA's projection was last month. So clearly, Australia's crop is getting bigger as we move forward. Kind of the opposite with Argentina's. They started out pretty good. but their growing season had generally been dry in those key areas of Buenos Aires and Santa Fe, where much of the wheat production is. Santa Fe has had some key rains. Buenos Aires is still a bit on the dry side. But by and large, Argentina's crop is shrinking just a bit. Now, they raise hard red winter wheat, and most of that goes to Brazil. And we've seen Brazil be kind of a bigger player in the hard red winter wheat U.S. market here over the last few weeks. I would expect that they'll probably keep up that pace if they suspect that Argentina will be tight on their production. So Argentina, which started out with some pretty lofty projections, those are being shaved back a little bit. At this point, we're not looking at a disaster there, just a shorter crop than normal. But again, we are looking at a monster crop coming out of Australia, the vast majority of which will be soft white wheat that will hit the Southeast Asian markets. That's going to compete, obviously, with the PNW white wheat, soft wheat. So it will affect U.S. wheat prices, primarily on the Chicago market, and it will affect world prices as well. But those supplies will hit the world pipeline the November, December, January window. So we're just kind of bracing for that. Everybody sees what's going on there, and we're all trying to get ahead of the game, and in particular Russia, which also wants to avoid any tariff rate quotas that are going to be imposed in October. Now, I don't see the Ag Ministry really bearing down on that because they have a big crop. Domestic prices are coming down. So it's not like Russia would step up and try to slow down their exports for fear of tight domestic supplies. That's really not in the cards anymore. And again, just for general purposes, they want to get a lot of the exports done before the winter sets in and their shallow water ports freeze up. They do have more deep water port capacity, so they will be a player throughout the marketing year, but it's just not to the degree that we see them in the fall. USDA will have a supply-demand report on Friday. This is going to be a pretty important report because of the uncertainty in the production estimates in the August report because of the derecho that came through and flattened a lot of Iowa corn. That really didn't show up in that report. So there's been some resurveys. USDA will fine-tune those numbers in the September report. So there's going to be quite a bit of attention paid to this, in particular for corn, also obviously for soybeans. Wheat, that we're pretty comfortable with where we're at. They'll make some adjustments to the world. I would think that they would increase the Australian production, probably pull back Argentina, just what we've been talking about, and probably ratchet up Russia, maybe in this report. But I think ultimately they're going to have to start ratcheting up Russia's production as well. So the U.S. is, you know, we've done fine here. Our exports have been great. We're running about 9% ahead of last year. So, and we're on track to meet the projections. So I don't see any major trouble spots there. It's just that world price is, we're pretty much even with where a world price is now. In fact, that's been kind of rising to meet us. But it's going to be difficult. Once the corn and soybean crops hit the pipeline, it's going to be difficult to move wheat, and it's going to make it expensive. And that's going to price us out of the market. So I think, you know, that's why we see these fall rallies, you know, pretty much peak in early October. You know, now you got the corn and bean crop occupying rail systems, barge systems, and it just makes it much more difficult to be competitive in the broader world market. So if the wheat market's going to continue this rally, I think at this point, now that we've had a nice run up from, you know, the last half of August into early September, and now we're backing up off, a rally back up probably would stall out at the highs put in last week. And so, you know, I think we'll have a chance to get there, but any rally that you see into late Sep, early October, I think needs to be met with some pretty aggressive selling and even starting to price in some of next year's crop. That said, of course, we're keeping a close eye on the drought conditions in the southern and central plains. That could have a significant impact on plantings. And with plantings already at 100-year lows in the southern plains, this just kind of exacerbates that. But I think ultimately that could be a pretty big supportive factor for hardwood winter wheat. Where on the flip side of that, you don't have a lot of supporting factor for soft red winter wheat. especially with Australia coming on with the bin buster. So I like those spreads with KC versus Chicago. I think Minneapolis versus Chicago is a workable one as well. As we work our way through the Canadian harvest, we're getting pretty close to when that spread should be finding some pretty good support. If you have any questions about that, just call me. We can talk about the details of those kinds of trades. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities. You can reach me at 1-800-888-9843.